is by mamata. But the word mama, mama means me. I-ness. Ta means suffix ness. In English we have ness. In Sanskrit it is called ta. Mama means I. Mamata means I-ness. So we develop I-ness, meaning our identification with certain things in this world. And number one identification is our name. I am Angela. Angela! Somebody called me. And maybe it's going to be Angela. You know? But Angstrom. Oh, it was not Angela. But your mind immediately goes there. You don't know why you do that. It's an instantaneous response. Why? Because me, somebody called me. Angela, yes. But somebody called me. Oh, Angela, I am Angela. You see how we are connected with this word, Angela. We know that it's we. I am being called upon. Not even the whole word Angela. Somebody says Angie, maybe me. Somebody begins to say A, immediately your mind goes there. So the word, the letters within the word, from your childhood you are given that name and said, you are Angela, you are Arpita, 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 Arpita. She begins to believe and know, I am Angela, I am Arpita. Now, as you grow older, you begin greater and greater identification with that letter, that sound. That is why when you are given Sanskrit name, the same letter is used in giving you Sanskrit name. So when you receive Sanskrit name, it will be starting with the letter A. Because even you bringing your Sanskrit, your spiritual journey, did I say Sanskrit journey? I mean spiritual journey, right? Did I say Sanskrit journey? Okay. No. So, your spiritual journey does not mean you have become a different person. Your journey has begun. So your identification, because of your identification with a particular entitative rhythm, your name remains the same. Begins with the same name. Even person becomes a sannyasi, they also have the same, begin with the same letter. Why am I talking about all these things? Because we are talking about our personality, who we are, how it is wrapped up in Kundalini, and what that is. Where is that I-ness coming from? Because this I-ness is the one we are trying to merge. So if we know where it is coming from, then we understand how we consider who I am. It's a very abstract thing, you know, what I feel about who I am. I-ness of myself, where is it coming from? This is what we're talking about, because that's one we have to merge. So then other I-ness comes because of the proximity of living. I-ness comes because, for example, you are sharing your genes with your children. You love your children. You begin to develop closeness with people you live with, people that are close to you physically. You start developing common vibration. And you start developing closeness and liking and attraction. First is attraction, then it's liking, then it is love. And it becomes closer bond. So this gradually develops around you, around your environment, around your place. And this begins to get burned into your personality, your I-ness. Your I-ness becomes that. So your environment and proximity. Time, people that are in your time, you develop closeness. You know. So under all these factors of time, place, and person, our I-ness develops about who we are. Our identity begins to develop as to who we are. And at the same time, what happens is that we become separate from the God Bhava. The more we become entrenched into individual bhava, individualness, I-ness, the further we begin to lose our global self, who we are. So, but it's not bad. It is, what's happening is the mind is evolving. So this is a natural process for mind to evolve and as a result to separate. As the child grows, what happens? Arpita is a little baby right now. So she loves, she believes her personality is what? Her mom, her dad. She's borrowed her entire personality from that. What happens as they grow older? They begin developing personality of their friends and college and teacher, and they grow, they become older, they reach teenage years, their glands begin to develop, and all the hormones start shooting all over the place in their body, and suddenly they start, you know, first they're confused about who personality, but not only that, they want to separate themselves from the parents. You know, they don't know who they are, but they believe they should be separate. They believe they should be separate because they are a little bit nervous about being someone else's personality. But they don't know what it is that they are or want to be. So they are going through this transition. And so do we as an adult on the spiritual journey are going through the same thing. So this is all we're talking about, how we develop mamata, I-ness, with ourselves, you see. And our propensity begins to develop, which begins to develop our mind, and ego becomes stronger, and we become more controlled by intellect. And as a result, intuition gets suppressed. Today, Arpita can do meditation, no problem, because her intellect has not overpowered her intuition. Her personality is not so strong. She will see her mother doing sadhana, so she'll sit down and do sadhana, you know. She doesn't even have to be taught, she learns. But as she develops, her glands develops, her personality develops, she will see mother doing sadhana. I don't believe in it. This is waste. How do you, what's the proof? What's the proof there is a God? Totally different. As a child, didn't have to be asked to do. As they get older, they will do opposite. None of both those situations are not correct. But both those situations happen. This is all nothing but development of the mind. So it is not bad. Propensity, number of propensity will increase as the mind expands. And even as you meditate, number of propensity will increase. And we differentiate ourselves from the universal I because gradually as the mind develops, the rate at which intellectual development happens is greater than the rate at which intuitional development happens. And as a result, intellectual development dominates intuitional self. And as a result, we separate ourselves from the universal self. Through meditation, we are undoing some of those things. Now, intellectual development is good, it's not bad. Because it dominates intuition, doesn't mean it is bad. Intellectual development is very important because intellectual development is the first level of defense against dogma. And again, that means lack of, again means ignorance. You know, intellectual, without intellectual development, we would be victim of dogma. and we would be victim of ignorance. And then we would never be able to reach God. So that fort of defense is necessary. But we cannot just stay within the wall of those defense fort. We need to allow intuitional development. Spiritual practices are purely intuitional development. It's called intuitional science for this reason. So this I-ness, mamata, and through development of the mind, what happens? These propensities change, and they are contained and being vibrated from your kundalini. Now, and that's our entity rhythm, sum total of our being vibrated. According to that, you are given a particular incantative rhythm that matches this entitative rhythm, which is the sum total of everything you talk about. That, when meditated upon, allows merger of those propensities defined by those entitative rhythms. Now, there are three things that we need to talk about. I'm going to wrap it up in about 5 or 10 minutes. But I'll talk about only two things. And those are Mantraghat, Dipani Shakti or Dipani Shakti, and Mantra Chaitanya. I'll briefly talk about Mantraghat and Dipani Shakti. So, Kundalini, before we go there, Kundalini is at Muladhara Chakra, and Supreme Consciousness, or the goal of Kundalini, is at Sahasrara Chakra, which is over here. And spiritual journey is unification of Kundalini and raising of the Kundalini to Sahasrara Chakra. Through meditation, step by step, we are supposed to not only awaken Kundalini, but guide its journey through the chakras to the Sahasrara Chakra. Ultimately, reaching to the Sahasrara Chakra. As the Kundalini passes through different chakras, what happens is that the sanskaras burn in purification result, and the path opens up. Path of movement of Kundalini opens up. So, for example, when you are able to cross one chakra, it clears the passage. Next time when you start, you will immediately go there, and then you'll move forward. And step by step, you break the barrier of different chakras and you move forward. So entire spiritual journey is a movement of Kundalini from Muladhara and raising it all the way to Sahasrara Chakra. In Sanskrit, it is said, Muladhare vasate shakti sahasrare sadashiva. That means energy. Individual identity, I-ness, resides at Muladhara, and God, Supreme Consciousness, resides at the Sahasrara. And spiritual journey is unification of this Kundalini with Sahasrara Chakra. And to do this unification, because of the fact that Kundalini is in a latent state, you have to awaken it. Once it is awakened, then it has to be guided upward. Kundalini in a normal state is in a sleeping divinity. You may have heard the word for Kundalini as sleeping divinity, right? Have you heard? Oh. Kundalini is called sleeping divinity because divinity is there, but it's in a dormant stage. So Kundalini is a definition of individual divinity. But why do we call sleeping divinity? Because it is in unawake, it's not aware of its divine nature. So now, through the process of Shuddhi that you have learned already in the first lesson. First lesson, Shuddhi means purification. Purification of the chakras. As you perform the purification of the chakras, what you are creating is Dipani Shakti. You are creating, you are opening up the passage for the Kundalini. When person is initiated into tantra sadhana, it is called diksha. The word for initiation in Sanskrit is called diksha. Did they tell you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's called diksha. The word diksha comes from two letters, D plus ksha. Plus a, because it's a feminine word. So feminine form is made by adding an a at the end. So diksha plus a becomes diksha. D, letter D stands for Dipani Shakti. Dipani Shakti. Ksha. Dipani Shakti means enlightenment. A passage is enlightened. Passage has been illuminated. Deep means light. Deepani Shakti means a process by which the passage is lightened up. Suppose you are walking, suppose you know how to go from here to bathroom. You know where the bathroom is. But if the lights are off, even though know where the bathroom is, you will be tumbling trying to find. So you need a light, even though you know where the bathroom is to reach bathroom. So this is Dipani Shakti. Dipani Shakti illuminates the path for Kundalini to clear its way. It's called Dipani Shakti. As Kundalini passes through the chakra, what it does, it what we call papa kshayanti. That means papa means sanskaras. It is ksha. Ksha is an acoustic root of waning, something being destroyed, something being wiped out. We talked about acoustic root. Do you remember? Briefly, we talked about it. Each action is defined by a particular letter in Sanskrit. So, A Uma, for example, A defines the creation, U defines the maintenance, Ma defines recycling, conversion, death, Om. The word Om comes this way. Remember, we talked about acoustic root. So, Ksha is the acoustic root of something waning, something being destroyed. Huh?
Decay.
Sorry?
Decay.
Decay, yeah. Wayne, I certainly remember. Wayne is coming to my house tomorrow at 9 o'clock. I forgot. Completely forgot. So, as Kundalini passes through this chakra, the sanskaras are destroyed. And that is why the word is ksha, the ksha. So the result of initiation, result of diksha is Kundalini, his path is enlightened, And through its movement, the sadhaka, the spiritual aspirant sanskaras are destroyed. A process that achieves this is called diksha. Now, in the process of diksha, you are given the mantra. This mantra, as we said earlier, is given to match your entitative rhythm, right? When this mantra is given to you during the process of diksha, as you hear those mantra first time, it creates a big impact on your kundalini at the moment. And this is called mantra aghat. Aghat means strike. Mantra plus aghat is called mantra aghat. When you receive the diksha, and now you understand why it is important, you went ahead and got diksha, and I told you I will explain it later. So now I'm explaining it to you, that what happens in diksha is, first of all, it's a close bondage with Guru is established, which will never go again. Is established. This is done. And Guru takes the full responsibility of spiritual attainment of the disciple. Very big process, very big thing it has happened. Then the journey begins by mantra aghat. When you receive the mantra from Guru, it creates an aghat, strike on the kundalini. Wake up! It's the first strike occurs. Wake up. And kundalini is a sleeping divinity. Wakes up by the power. Why does it wake up? Because kundalini has those vibrations which are associated in this incantation. So it creates an effect and it wakes up. Once it wakes up, and then path is enlightened by Dipani Shakti. So it knows which way to move. If the path is not opened, where will kundalini move? If the light isn't here, you know I have to go to bathroom. You know where it is, but you cannot find the place. So mantragat and Dipani Shakti has to work together in order to raise the kundalini to a higher spot. And it is not enough that you simply awaken kundalini. You have to raise the kundalini too. And the only way you can raise it by ongoing practice. That's why spiritual aspirants, one of the strongest characteristics and qualification is person never gives up. You have to keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. Good, bad, perfect, imperfect, whatever, like what you're doing. 15 minutes or 20 minutes doesn't impress me. What impresses me is you're doing it. And that is what is required to do that. So this is called mantrakhat. This is called Dipani Shakti. This is called Diksha. This is called entitative and incantative rhythm. This is what we call Mamata. We discussed all these things. We discussed what Ishwar is. We discussed Ishwar Pranidhan. Definition of Ishwar, definition of Ishwar Pranidhan. We discussed about Kundalini. By Diksha, creating the way for kundalini to rise, and the process and the role that mantra plays in that process. Okay, so this is how far we've talked about today. Mantrakhat and Dipani Shakti. Next week, I will talk about Mantra Chaitanya. And that will basically bring, you know, Ishwar Pranidhan to conclusion. Again, next week I will review this thing, but I will move through faster, and then I will add Mantra Chaitanya to that, so that the whole thing then, Ishwar Pranidhan, Ishvaparinidhana then becomes complete. So Mantrakar, Dipanishakti and Mantra Chaitanya together then is involved in Ishvaparinidhana.